You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the marvelous book of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Gospel, Godspell, good news. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, I'm live on the air teaching another book of the Bible. When we go off the air, I pray for everybody who comes by name individually, one by one, as the Holy Spirit leads according to his beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then we pray fervently for America, and then we practice the hymn of the month every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Be blessed and worship with us for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, True Social taping. I'm in Century, Florida. I am right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place. Oh, yummy for your tummy. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a little sign with an arrow pointing to my place, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now the curtain comes up on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. Excuse me. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Empty your basket and God will fill it again. Did I hear the owner of Mama Joe's, Joanna Helm, smile? We had a little correspondence there. Empty your basket, God will fill it again. When my eyes had 20/20 vision, I often made my own cards to give to the people. I would draw a picture on the outside, and then I would write a poem on the inside. And I remember one time, it was close to Thanksgiving, and I drew a picture of a basket. It was all empty, but it was waiting to receive something. And then I drew a little picture of showers of beautiful autumn leaves coming from heaven to fill the basket, one on every color there. It was gorgeous. Empty your basket. God will fill it again.
Verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days.
He goes back to Capernaum, the city of compassion.
There was noise that he was in the house.
Everybody says Jesus is in the house. Whose house? Well, maybe Peter's, his house. It doesn't tell us. Somebody's house.
Verse 2. And straightway,
immediately,
many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them.
The whole house was full of people.
No, not so much as about the door.
They couldn't even get in the door.
And he preached the word unto them.
Good Lord, why would all these people come to hear the word of God? Here's why. Because everybody has got a hole in their soul in this human race. That's why you drink alcohol. That's why you do drugs. That's why you have promiscuous sex. That's why you eat too much. That's why you listen to video games and cell phone without stopping there. Computers, television. Why you perpetually work, 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 work. You don't know how to take a Sabbath. And why you're always about money, money, money. A hole in your soul. The only one that can fill the hole in your soul is the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God, Jesus, and He is the truth. These people want to know, why in the world am I on this planet? What's it all about?
Verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy.
Palsy means paralyzed. He cannot walk.
Which was born of four.
Four friends bring him there. Now, they must love him very much. Four is a number of the world, but the fifth man is paralyzed. Five is a number of grace. Obviously, the four see that in the world, sometimes people are paralyzed, but maybe five, amazing grace, could get them healed.
Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press,
the crowds were pressing around, no room there.
They uncovered the roof where he was.
They climb up on top of the roof and start uncovering the roof. Now just think about Jesus inside there. He's anointed, the Holy Spirit's flowing, everybody's sitting mesmerized. I mean, this is the Son of God talking here. Hammer, hammer, hammer.
And when they had broken it up, let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
The bed is a little, what we call a pallet. It's a mobile pallet, kind of like a little mattress, probably got two ropes on it. Now just look at that. There's Jesus, he's God, Emmanuel, God with us in flesh, the Word in flesh. He hears that, and he sees us coming down. It's got to be a smile on his face. What about the people? What's this?
Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith.
Ha! He saw their faith. I always tell you, faith is an act. It is not something you say. You might say it, but something you do. Hammer, hammer, hammer. We're going to get them. I mean, he saw their faith. This is faith in action.
Amen.
See, when I pray for you to be healed, you're not supposed to sit there and say, I certainly hope I am. I'll wait and see if I feel better. You're supposed to get up. That's what I do. When I can't get up, I just get up.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what you're supposed to do. So there they are. Jesus says in Luke 11, importunity, shameless persistence. And Vincent Lombardo, Vinny, says, perseverance wins. I mean, this is faith in action. Now, what about you? All of you say you're Christians, most of you, and you say, I live by faith. But do you? Does anybody see faith in you? If you pray and believe, are you still with a theatrical sad face? If you really believed, you'd have a theatrical happy face. Do people see your faith, or is that just something you say? It's an act.
He said unto the sick of the palsy,
he said, death and life to the power of the tongue. Jesus is the word. You say this mountain be removed. Words have power. Sound produces movement. I say to you, sick of the palsy, you paralyzed man.
Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Now, wait a minute. He wants to be healed. Son, your sins be forgiven thee. Shakespeare says, this method in me madness. There's a purpose here. It's really not madness. Do you know the one sickness that can take you out is sin? The wages of sin is death. There is no greater sickness than sin. Turn on the news, and if you listen too long, you'll be sick as a dog. Sin, sin, sin. But nobody there understands what's going on. But Jesus does. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows the ending from the beginning. He knows that he's going to go to a cross and take this man's sin and all our sins on his body on the tree, and his blood would wash it away, and then he would know that our sins could be forgiven. But nobody there understands that. What'd you say, Jesus? See, if you watch Jesus, it looks like he changes the subject all the time. Nope, there's method in his madness.
Verse 6. There were certain of the scribes sitting there.
That's why. The scribes were the religious hypocrites of the synagogue. They were so mad at Jesus. They had a religious spirit. They act like holy people. They had the letter, but no spirit there. inside the whited sepulchres, and the people were all going to Jesus, and they weren't coming to synagogue to hear their traditions of men which make void the word of God, and they weren't getting any money. That's all they cared about. So they were so mad. So they're sitting there with their religious spirit just waiting to pounce. The religious spirit always goes to church, and it tries to destroy the credibility of the one who's speaking the truth. But it's always kind of like, look, I know. I mean, after all, I'm a godly person.
And reasoning in their hearts. Verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Now, they were thinking that they're actually right. Only God can forgive sins. What they don't know, standing right before them, is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Well, you can kind of understand that does make sense. What are you doing forgiving sins? But remember, the religious spirit is always very critical. If I go pound on this desk, they would say, how dare you pound on the desk? It might be the Holy Spirit saying, somebody wake up. But they would say, oh, you're a bad person. You pounded on the desk.
Verse 8, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit.
He can read their minds. You can't fool Jesus. He's a heart knower.
But they so reasoned within him themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart?
I know what you're thinking.
Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?
Actually, it's easier for a human being to say your sins be forgiven, because nobody can see whether they're forgiven or not, but they could certainly see whether you would take up your little pallet and walk. Now again, this method in his madness, he knows he's going to pay the sin debt, and he's going to get a point across. Jesus came to save sinners. And ultimately, we would never be sick in our bodies if sin had not entered the equation. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you've sinned, but sin is the author and finisher of it.
Verse 10, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.
I want you to know that the Son of Man can forgive sins. Jesus came to save sinners.
Say it to the sick of the palsy. Verse 11, I say unto thee.
I say, move, mountain, move. Sound produces movement. Death and life, the power of the tongue. Words produce movement. Words have power.
Yeah. Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house.
Now that's pretty clear. Will he do it?
Verse 12, and immediately.
Right away.
He arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all.
Right before them. Now, just a minute. Those scribes are sitting there. Now, wait a minute. If this man can take this paralyzed man and get him to get up and walk, not only do that, clean up his mess, pick up his bed with him, don't leave his mess there, do some grunt work too. See, his back's not hurting now, his leg's not hurting, he's got to work now. He said, well, maybe he could forgive sins. Method in his madness.
And so much that they were all amazed. Glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion.
You didn't. That kind of emptied those scribes of a little bit of doubt for just a moment. Maybe it began to fill them with just a little bit of faith.
Verse 13. And went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them.
They were hungry too. Everybody's hungry. I don't care how pretty you are, how rich you are. You're longing, 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 and you go to all the wrong things. Only Jesus, the Word of God, the truth, can fill that hole.
Verse 14, and as he passed by, he saw Levi.
Now, Levi's name means join, J-O-I-N. And God chose a tribe of Levi to be the priest line. But here's a Levi sitting there. What's he all about?
The son of Alphaeus, city or seat of customs.
My Lord, he's a tax collector. He decided to make hay while the sun shines. Got all these people here, might as well get me some taxes here. Now, tax collectors had a lot of money. They worked for the communist, Marxist, fascist government, Roman government, and they collected taxes. They took everything and the kitchen sink, and then they got a lot of money for themselves. So this is a very, very wealthy man, Levi.
And he said unto him, follow me.
Follow me, tax collector, rich man.
And he arose and followed him.
Good Lord. Have you noticed that Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, were quite lucrative in money with his shipping business? Money. They left all. What about James and John, brothers, Dad, Zebedee, owned the shipping company there, had employees, rich. And now we got Levi. All of these disciples leave their money. They empty their basket of their money and follow Jesus. Empty your basket, God will fill it again. Did God fill it again? Matthew chapter 19, Peter says, Lord, we've left all and followed you. What do we get? Jesus said, there is no man or woman, a boy or girl, who's left everything for me, but will receive 100-fold. And in the regeneration, when Jesus sits on the throne, they will sit on the thrones judging the 10 tribes of Israel. What an honor, heaven on earth, judging, bringing divine order, keeping order in heaven for all eternity, reigning and teaching with him forever. Amen. Empty your basket of yourself and fill it with God himself.
Amen. Verse 15, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house,
now, there, whose house is that? Maybe Levi's, or maybe Peter's, or maybe Jesus' house. He's eating.
Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him.
He's sitting there with tax collectors, his disciples, and sinners. Oh, my goodness, sinners. Now, wonder what those scribes and Pharisees are going to say about that. We know you don't want to be with sinners. Your pastor, your shepherd.
Verse 16.
By the way, sinners welcome here.
When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said it to his disciples.
Now notice they didn't say it to Jesus. The religious spirit goes behind the called ones back in the church. And they start saying, hey, Angela. You know, Sherry there? Hey, Scott, you know, Sherry, hey, Laura. Hey, Vinny, no, Sherry there? That's what they do. They start causing little doubt to come in. That's the religious spirit. They want to empty the church of faithful believers who know that pastor, that shepherd is telling the truth.
How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?
Oh, bad, bad, bad.
Verse 17. And when Jesus heard it.
Well, Jesus heard it. See, the shepherd knows. We're not fooled. Holy Spirit tells us we know it. Yes. And we know who. And we love you anyway.
He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician.
Now remember, sin is the greatest sickness of all. It is fatal. The wages of sin is death.
But they that are sick.
Sick people need a physician. We're all sin sick. We need a physician. His name is Jesus. Amen. We need his blood to get this poison sin out of us.
Amen.
Empty yourself of sin, you'll fill it with him. Blood, the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Fill it with his spirit.
I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Jesus says this kind of with tongue in cheek. You self-righteous hypocrites, religious spirits, you are so full of traditions of men which make void the word of God. You're so full of old wives' fables, fairy tales, little things here that you've heard, all these things that mama said and daddy said, and none of it was true. You're just so filled with that. And you can't hear the truth. How many things do you need to empty your basket of? Think of the lies about Holy Spirit. Some people, if you mention healing, I found that, you know, I pray for people heal. I'm alive because of the gift of healing.
Amen.
And if I say that to some denominations, I mean, they get upset. All kind of things. In other words, empty your basket, church, of traditions of men which make void the word of God, of fables, and fill up with the truth the word of God.
Verse 18. And the sons of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?
So John the Baptist's disciples come there, and they notice that they are parting hearty here. They're having a good meal there. They say, John the Baptist told us to fast. Well, John the Baptist's disciples fasted because they were fasting so the Messiah would come for the first advent. They wanted Messiah. They needed him. The Roman government was hard on them. Life was hard. They were fasting so Messiah would come the first time. But he's here.
Verse 19, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?
Jesus is a bridegroom, and the church is a bride. We've got to have a wedding feast here. And that was true the first time. No need to fast and say, we're fasting, Lord. I'm going to fast for 21 days so Messiah will come the first time. No, don't need to do that. He's here.
As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Verse 20, for the days will come.
There's a day coming.
When the bridegroom shall be taken away from them.
Jesus will die on a cross, arise from the dead, ascend back to heaven. Now he'll send a third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, to govern the earth. But the bridegroom won't be here then.
And then shall they fast in those days.
These are those days. Now we're waiting for the second advent of Messiah, the second coming of Jesus. Fasting from food is one of the greatest weapons in your arsenal to overcome all the fiery darts of the enemy. I do this on a regular basis, and I don't talk about it. The whole nation of Nineveh was going to be judged and destroyed. They fasted and prayed 3 days, and they were saved. And we fast now for friends who are overwhelmed by the stress of life. And we fast that God will make a way for them to have it easier. We fast now for people to be relieved of demons, to be healed of sicknesses. We fast for America. 2 Chronicles 7:14, humble ourselves fast, that America will turn back to Jesus. We fast, 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 and this is our great arsenal. And fasting, we fast from food, we feast on the word, and we continue to do so until the second coming of Jesus. But then we won't fast anymore. We're going to get married. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We eat Jesus, body and blood. Yummy.
Amen. Verse 21. A man soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment.
Now, again, it looks like Jesus just goes off to another subject. No, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows these scribes and Pharisees and all these people need to empty the pockets of the mind from preconceived ideas. Empty your basket of preconceived ideas. And so he's going to use two parables, metaphors, allegories, to show you, church, that you need to empty your basket and let God fill it again. Into the pockets of your mind. our preconceived ideas.
There's a new piece that filled it up, taken away from the old, and the rent is made worse.
Now, in America, especially during the Great Depression, they wore overalls, we call them jeans now, more modern, made of denim. You keep washing those jeans, and finally they shrink to their maximum, and they won't shrink anymore. Because those jeans are so expensive, you get a little tear in them there, you want to patch it up. That's kind of fashionable anyway. But if you take a new piece of denim that is not pre-shrunk, and you put it in the old denim there, the old cloth, when you wash those jeans, that little place there is going to pucker up. When you church try to teach an old dog new tricks, they're going to pucker up. When you try to tell someone who's steeped in traditions of men of the mystery of God, of the three earth and heaven ages, though it's very clear in 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, world, eon, age, you try to tell of the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, that six comes before seven, six is Antichrist, seven is Jesus, whoo, they pucker up. Amen. They'll throw you out of the church. You try to tell them about tongues and healing? Oh, Lord, you're an infidel.
Verse 22, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles.
In Bible times, they put wine into a bottle made of lambskin. Now, okay, you got a new bottle. It's lambskin, new bottle. All right, so far, so good.
Else a new wine doth burst the bottle, and the wine is spilt, and the bottles will be marred.
Okay, the new wine bottle made of lambskin will expand. But when that new wine bottle is old, it's set in its ways, it'll crack, it cannot move, it cannot budge. This is the way we've always done it. Daddy said it, my pastor said it, the preacher said it. If you put new wine into the new bottle, when wine ferments, it expands. The new lambskin expands. So everybody grows and everybody's happy, the wine is saved.
Amen.
But you put new wine, revelation, knowledge, mystery of God, through earth and heaven, age of seduction in the garden, order of the trumps, fallen angels, in old bottles, in a crack. Churches crack up over the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. So what you want to do, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine, they'll come and rend you. When you see that you've got one that won't move, go on to the next one. Find a Christian who's willing to empty themselves of traditions of men, which make void the word of God, of old wives' fables, who are willing to fill with new revelation of Jesus. Amen. You come to vision of revelation of God.
Amen.
The new wine must be put into new bottles. 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and the disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn.
Okay, they're hungry. They're going to get themselves some raw cornbread. Sabbath means rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. He says, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest, holy.
And the Pharisees said unto him,
uh-oh, look at there, they followed him. The religious spirit will follow that one that's called, I'm going to find something, and I'm going to tell the world, I know you're doing something wrong here. And I'm going to empty that truth of the lie to the whole wide world.
Behold, I do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful. Verse 20.
But it was lawful. God's word did not say it was not lawful. In other words, those Pharisees and scribes made up their own laws. They kept on adding so many laws. And so do religious spirits. They keep saying, you can't wear your hair that way. You can't dress that way. Don't you dare pray in tongues in our church. Don't you dare anoint with oil. Don't you dare think that someone fall on the floor in the Holy Spirit anointing.
Mike, and he said it to them, have you never read what David did?
Jesus was at the church at Harmless's dove. Now these are whited sepulchres, religious spirits, but they know the law, but they have no spirit. Now they're going to have to respect David. I mean, after all, he is David.
Who had need and wasn't hungry?
He was hungry.
He and they were with him.
David and his men were running for their lives from King Saul, and they needed some food.
Verse 26. How he went into the house of God.
He goes into the church, the holy temple.
In the days of Abiathar, the high priest.
Abiathar's name means Father of Abundance. Father of Abundance. Remember Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life?
Yeah. Yeah. And it eat the shewbread.
Shewbread. Bread is a symbol of abundance. Bread of heaven. Jesus. Abundant life.
Which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest.
Only the priest can eat that bread of heaven, that shewbread. But Acts says David is a priest. Now remember Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows that once he pays his sin debt and goes back to heaven, as says the Holy Spirit, that all the church who will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire will be called a priest. Okay, that'll empty the lies of those old phony Pharisees and scribes there. And we're all priests unto him, Revelation 1.
Amen.
This will empty the lies out of their mouth, and hopefully they would accept the truth.
I gave also to them which were with him.
You have some too.
Verse 27. I said unto them, Sabbath was made for man.
God made our bodies. And he said in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath means rest. Jesus is our Sabbath, holy. It says holy. Going fishing, going out on your boat, that's not holy. And he said, 6 days thou shalt work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest from thy labor. Keep it holy. In America, even in my childhood, my young adulthood, every business, even those who were not Christian, closed on the Sabbath. It was respect. God is holy. And he says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It was a more peaceful time. People need to be holy on that day. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Go to church and rest in the Holy Spirit anointing in that church. Rest in the Word of God there. Rest in the fellowship of kindred spirits there. In other words, you don't stay in bed all day. You don't go fishing. You don't go hunting. You close your business and you go to church. See, when you keep your business open, you're saying, well, those people that work there, they're not Christians. What an example you're setting them. But you see, even the Christians, businessmen, you've given over to Balaam, Mammon. You want the money. The Sabbath day is not for that. It is for going to church, resting in the Word, in the Holy Spirit, the fellowship with others.
And not man for the Sabbath.
I didn't give you the Sabbath so you can work some more and be more miserable.
Verse 28, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath. On my board up here, I have a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He paid the sin debt. Now, he was crucified on what is called a high Sabbath, Passover. He's a Passover lamb. When Jesus was crucified, there were two Sabbaths that time. And at that time, it was Saturday. But he was not crucified on Saturday. He was crucified on Wednesday, the high Sabbath. Well, you can't get much higher than high, so Jesus is Lord. He is high Sabbath. Empty your basket of yourself. Let God fill it with himself. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my radio announcer, Scott Merson. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 5:3-6.
Absolutely Amen. Beautiful. You'll direct your path on the Sabbath day to go to church, that's for sure. Thank you very much. Amen. Before I pray for healing, let's pray for anyone who's not saved. In cyberspace, pray this prayer with me, mean it with all your heart, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
And fire.
And fire.
Make me usable to win many souls to Jesus.
Make me usable to win many souls to Jesus.
Tell me where to go to church every Sabbath and midweek prayer time.
Tell me where to go to church every Sabbath, Sunday, and midweek prayer time.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
I confess this before the whole wide world. Amen.
I confess this before the whole wide world. Amen.
For those of you in cyberspace, Romans 10 says, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to tell two or three people. I invite you to tell me. In a moment, my announcer, Scott Mercer, will give you my telephone number. Call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave your message, and when I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. All new Christians, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. They're all about Jesus, who is your Sabbath. I suggest the King James Version is the only version that you could trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldee, in which Holy Spirit dictated it. Read that Bible every day, get it out of your head and into your heart, and it will direct your path. Find a place in your home, your prayer place. No dogs, no cat, no food, no cell phones, no television, no radio, no people. You and God. Have your Bible there, because he says, put in remembrance of my word. Pray to him now, Father, in Jesus' name. Pour out your heart to him. Talk to him about things. Sometimes talk to him about his Bible. Don't do all the talking. That's very, very rude. Let him talk to you. And then you want to make sure that you don't give up until you have the full baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. There will be evidence of that. You will start praying in the Spirit. There will be an energy, a power that you've never had before. And there will be a new language that will speak with new tongues, new languages. Go to church every time the door opens. Find a church that teaches God's word, book, chapter, verse, and line. Paul says to Isaiah 28 says, book, chapter, verse, and line by line. Make sure the shepherd there has an only Holy Spirit, is led by the Holy Spirit. Be faithful there. Go on the Sabbath. Be on time. Pray. Invite people to church. Help the church to grow. Bring somebody with you. Do some good there. Don't just watch the show. And go midweek, because the prayer is where the power is. And that's where the movement begins. Yeah. And God bless you. Be sure to return your tithe, it's not yours, where you get fed God's word and offerings to the Lord. I pray you are blessed. I want you to pray for someone who has backache. It's kind of in the mid-back, but almost lower back there. Put your hand on there. Kordahishakata. In the name of Jesus, spinal cord, vertebrae, adjust, unpinch, let the blood flow. Loose vertebrae, loose the nerve. Pick up your bed like the paralyzed man and walk. Stand up now and say, I can walk, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Amen. Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. With a mouth confession of age of salvation.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his counsel upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend. Yes, I am. Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But, O church, no greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus came to save sinners. He died for our sins. He arose from the dead, and he's coming again. I love you, too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together, family of God, all the beautiful souls in here, all the beautiful souls all over the world, I feel your spirit to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, come broken. come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace, my
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
want everything, everything you got for me. I won't be satisfied till I find the center of your heart. Lord, you know, you open my eyes, you show me things that I can't see on my own. You call me justified, free to find.